For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday afternoon service of November the 25th, 1995, of the Thanksgiving camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Coffees are the speaker for the evening.
Do praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come this afternoon, Lord, to do that which you've called us to do. Father, I ask you to give us hearing ears and seeing eyes and an understanding heart. And Father, that as I share the scripture, that we will examine our hearts and receive and believe that we will receive deliverance. In Jesus' name. Because, Father, your word said, they that call upon the Lord shall be delivered. And, Father, this is your word, and we just want to do your word this afternoon. And I ask, Father, that you just have your way. Now, Holy Spirit, you do that which you brought me here to do in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share and to give forth your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I want to start this afternoon with 1 John. In the third chapter, I've got one verse I want. And if any of you are deliverance workers and know anything about deliverance, this is one you use, because the scripture says in verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So Jesus was manifested in the flesh. He came forth to destroy the works of the devil. And I hear people saying all the time, but I'm born again, and I've been cleansed, and I'm free. Well, praise the Lord. And when I get through, if you're free, totally free, come shake my hand. Because I don't know anyone that's totally free. Because, you see, we're living in the world, and you pick up things all the time.
Man, that's right.
And I have people, you know, I told y'all the other night, some of y'all were here and some of you weren't. But I said that when I ministered to the men at the mission, and most of them are black. There's a few white ones there, but most black. They come in off the street, and they've done everything under the sun, and they don't have any demons. And it really floors me. And you, first of all, if you say you don't have and you don't believe this, then you'll never be able to receive deliverance, because you just closed the door on God speaking to you. And what you need to say is, Lord, if I got that, I want it out.
Yes.
You know, I was going to share this upstairs. We were talking to women this afternoon, but I say too much sometimes when somebody else is ministering, so I kept my mouth shut. But I remember the first time that I ever heard about deliverance. Well, let me put it this way. First time I was in a mass deliverance meeting. I was in Chicago in a Win Hurley meeting. And he was doing deliverance. And I was sitting there watching. And I didn't think I had any demons. And I was thinking, man, I don't want to get too close to that. And as I was sitting there, the Spirit of the Lord convicted me. He began to say, you won't receive any help if you don't believe. And if you think you're above this. And I said, oh, God, forgive me, because anything in me that's not of you. And I knew that I had a temper. I knew I knew where I'd come from. And the Lord said, he began to put his finger on it. And I hope y'all are not the kind of people that think that somebody that teaches should never have a demon. And when I go to the mission and I talk to them about me getting deliverance, they look like... And I said, well, let me tell you something. If I need deliverance, I can guarantee you, you do. But anyways, Jesus was manifested in the flesh for us to be free from the works of darkness. And so, as I said, I'm going to do some basic things right now. So, over in 1 Peter, back up to 1 Peter. Usually when I preach here, I quote a lot of scripture, but I don't turn to them. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to read every one of these. Doc took 2 hours last night, so I told him. He said, I didn't. I said, yes, you did. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'll try not to be that long. But in 1 Peter in chapter 5, began with verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter's telling us here that to be aware that your enemy is walking around as a roaring lion, seeking a way to devour you. You say, well, I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I have no demons in me because I know who I am. I'm walled about the Holy Ghost. We wish that was true. And that's what God wants. But if you've gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and have not sinned or done anything wrong since you got saved, then praise the Lord. But every time you tell a little white lie when somebody you answer the telephone and they want to talk to somebody and that somebody doesn't want to talk and they say, I'm not here. If you say repeat that, you just lied. Well, that's different. But many times we will do what you would do what that. But what I want you to see is that little lie will open the door. I have I'm dealing with a spirit and a woman in our church. And it's a familiar spirit, and he's been coming in our house, and I try to remember to ask the Father to bind his ears so he can't hear when he come in or understand what's going on. He comes in to spy on us, and he was talking smart enough to me. He said, well, you talk to demons, well, sometimes I can't help it. They're just there. And he was talking to me the other day, and he said something about curses, the curses that had been loosed, and I said, you can't do that. Because I have my angels around me. He said, yeah, but you still open the door every once in a while. And all we need is just a little crack in your armor and we can get in. That wasn't very encouraging, but it sure makes me want to be more careful about the way I walk. Amen? But Peter's saying here, resist the devil. Be sober. Don't go around in passivity and say, well, he can't touch me because I am okay. That's a good trick. What you need to do is say, Lord, keep me aware of the tricks of the devil and help me to recognize the insult. You know, you can be angry and sin not. Because the scripture tells us, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down your wrath. And if you do something wrong, confess it right then, repent of it, and close the door so the enemy cannot come in. I was sharing with some of the girls a while ago, and I said, the thing is that we get hurt so much, things hurt us, and we say, you know, well, I forgive them. But the hurt has already come in because what they said hurt so bad. And we, as soon as we get over the hurt, we say, well, I forgive them, Father. And but that hurt is already entered in. And the hurt will stay there and it will fester. You say, well, that's not fair. I've already repented. Well, you see, I just went through. I was sharing that a week ago, tonight, I couldn't walk. And on Sunday morning, I couldn't walk because I'd been hit in the back. And I had a whole lot of time to sit before the Lord and find out how that thing got in and to curse me like that. And the Lord began to show me. He said, these little things, your children, we have four children. He said, the things your children are doing that hurt you, you look over it, you don't get rid of it right that minute, and you continually let it build up, and it builds up. And then that unforgiveness will come in there. Well, why did they do that? And you've got to forgive them. You're hurt, you receive anger at them because they're not doing what you think they should do. All these little things. And as I sat there in my den by myself for several days when I couldn't move, everything was at my fingertips because I couldn't move very well. God, I was saying, Lord, I want you to know how this happened. I want out from under it. I want anything that's hindered me from getting my healing. I want you to show it to me. And the Lord began to show me these little foxes that had spoiled my vine. And I had let them come in. Oh, I said, well, I forgive them. I love them. I turn my kids over to you, Lord. I've turned my kids over to him regularly. But these things hurt. And it hurts. People hurt you with their attitudes. They come at you with their voices sometimes. they'll cut at you. You say, well, you shouldn't. One of the brothers was preaching, said, if you're dead, you shouldn't let that happen. But I'm not dead yet. I wish I was. But every one of you have been hurt some way or another, even by a look, a smart remark, or something. And we don't do anything about those little things. You know, they're tiny. That wasn't bad, and it's okay. But we need to take care of them instantly, because the enemy is going around waiting for an opportunity to work on us. Okay, James, back up in your scriptures to James chapter 4. You know, I came over here last year, the latter part of the year, around Christmas time, and shared some on the soul. And I'm still going to share some tonight on this afternoon on the soul, but I was wanting to share some other things this afternoon, and the Lord began to show me. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to share on... I was thinking about Brother Kyle, what he said this morning. He preached many sermons. Well, I'm going to preach many things about deliverance this afternoon. But I just wanted you to see, first of all, you're going to have to humble yourself to receive deliverance. I didn't touch on that over there in Peter just now. It's humbling to say, I got demons. I hear people say, I've got cancer and I need prayer. And I said, okay, we'll pray. But I said, let's cast it out. Let's cast the spirit out that caused it, and then pray for healing for what the thing has done. Well, I don't have any demons. You see, we rather, not us, because we're all beyond that. We'd rather have cancer than demons. Well, no, wait a minute. See, we have to humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, everything in me that's not of you, I want it out. And I keep telling, I used to get envious of the girls that I worked on in my church. I thought, this was my attitude. Lord, what about me? I'm always on the floor with them. When's my turn on the floor? And why I would say this? I would say, the Lord was showing me that the more we get out, the more room there was for Him. And there was more of the Word and the more of the Spirit. Get all the forces out that was hindering me from hungering after Him. And I kept crying out saying, God, when's my turn? So I finally had to just say, okay, old buddy, it's you and I. And so we would have to do our deliverance at home because we was ministering to everyone else. And I had someone tell me, well, you should never get deliverance in front of your church. And I said, why? Well, they shouldn't see you get deliverance. And I said, why? They know it's there. They can discern it in me. They see it on me. So why shouldn't I get rid of it in front of them? See, pride. And it's humbling to say, hey, I need help today. And let me tell you something. You're not deceiving anybody but yourself. Everybody else reaches. Everybody does. Oh, we're so full of pride. As a lady here that has been where this church, but I'm going to say this anyways. I had some friends come back that had gone to Brother Furley's church one time, came back to my church, and man, they knew everything. I got so done with them, I wanted them to leave. I thought, I don't know everything, so you go back over there where everybody knows everything. I'm learning. But see, it was pride. It's pride that I know how to do deliverance. Let me tell you, if you got pride working in you, can't nobody help you. You're going to cut it off. You're going to not listen to what people say. You've got to be open and say, God, I always say, Lord, show me. But if you don't show me, show somebody else so I can get help there. And so we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to go before the Lord and say, Lord, you do what you need to do in me. And if you don't think you've got any demons, look at James chapter 4, verse 1. And he says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You don't have any warfare inside of you? You don't have to sometimes bite your tongue to keep from saying what you would like to say? You don't have to just hold on with all you've got to keep from getting angry? Sometimes you can't even hold it. It just explodes anyways. There's a war inside of you. I heard one of the brothers the other night, and I don't remember which one it was that said it, but he said there's two forces, two natures, or what he said. I said, two kingdoms. Jesus talked about it over in Matthew 12. He said, a kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. God's building is trying to build, is building his kingdom in us, but the devil's trying to build his too. And the devil's had a lot of more. Unless you were born a Christian, and I don't know that God's got any grandchildren, before you came to Jesus Christ, you were, had no defense. Unless your mother and father knew all of this and was protecting you, and they were godly, and you were born into a godly family, and they were standing in a gap for you, the devil came in. Because over in Psalms, in the 7th chapter, it says that while there was none to deliver, your soul was fragmented. There's a war in us because the enemy is trying to build his kingdom, and God is building his. You see, God is building his body, the overcomer. But the devil wants to destroy it and let his men come forth. I was reading a book the other day, and it was talking about the seeds. And said that the devil couldn't reproduce, so the only way he could reproduce was to steal from Adam and Eve and cut them off from God and start building his kingdom. And I never thought about that before. And I thought, that's true. God's building sons. You know what he says? But, beloved, now are we the sons of God. But the enemy's trying to do the same thing. And whoever the brother was talking that night said, the one you feed is the one that's going to grow. Well, let me tell you, kick the other one out. Get the other one out so that one, can grow. So he says, from whence comes wars and fightings from among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not, and you ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us listeth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He tells us to draw nigh to God, to resist the devil. Most of the time we resist God. We do it backwards. Because when God tells us something, we resist what he tells us, and therefore we open the door for the enemy. You say, well, I don't. Well, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, God says, my sheep know my voice. But we don't listen. We need to ask him to reveal to us how to be overcomers. You know, we're not overcomers yet. We sing a song in our church about, we always sing it, and we've overcome. And I told him the other day, I said, I wish you'd stop saying that and say, we shall overcome. Because until you begin to walk in what you know in the Word, you have not overcome anything. You say, well, that's negative thinking. Well, it's truth. We are overcoming, but we haven't overcome all of this yet. We are doing it little by little as we allow God to work in us. Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll get this done by faith. Go to Psalms 23. I told you I was going to touch on a lot of things. So I wanted to teach from Deuteronomy 23, 28. And I'm going to touch on it, but right now I want Psalms 23, verse 3. The Word says, he restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I first got on this on the soul, and y'all forgive me for repeating myself, that I often wondered what that meant. And so, you know, when I came to the Lord, they said, well, your soul got saved. So I thought, well, that's what he meant there, what God meant when he said he restores my soul. But as I've been in deliverance, the more I'm into deliverance, the more I realize that that's where the devil works, because the soul came from God, and the devil wants it. And when I ran in, I shared this a while, once before, about a girl in our church, that we couldn't get her. I kept saying she wasn't saved. I couldn't get her unsaved to get her saved. She was in religion. You know, she'd been in church all of her life. When I said religion, she'd been religious, but she didn't know Jesus. And she came into church, and she was in there a long time, and she always talked about God. And when you talk about God to me, unless you say Father, I'm concerned. Unless you say Jesus. And she kept saying God, 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 and every time she would do that, I would think, Lord, does she not know you? Why does she say God? And so I began to try to see if she really knew Jesus. Well, she said she was saved. Well, I don't know. And so one day I was ministering to her, and this spirit manifested in her and began to talk to me. I didn't ask him to. He just wanted to put me down, I guess. And he said, you're a stupid woman. And I thought, I'm not going to agree with that. But I really felt dumb before he got through with me. He said, you can't get her saved. I said, I'm not supposed to. God is. He said, there's not enough of her in here to get saved. I said, you lying thing, you lying. And he just kept insisting that there wasn't enough of her there. He said, you've never seen the real her. Well, I could agree with that, because a lot of times when she'd walk in the church, she just was different every time, you know, so many times. So I said to that thing, well, that ain't to stand the judgment. That's what I judge them, what they say to me by. And then I just continued putting it on them to see, you know, and I got to thinking about it. But after that session, I mean, I didn't let on like I didn't know. I just left that alone. You know, I thought, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction to know that I don't know that. So I'm going to wait and see, you know, see what the Lord. And the Lord gave me this scripture. And then he sent me over to Psalm 7. And he gave me Psalm 7, the one I quoted a little bit of like just now, verse 2. He said, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to deliver. And he's, O Lord, the verse 3 says, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. So I thought, well, okay, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. And so I began to dig into the scriptures, and there's other scriptures that relate to this. There's one in Psalm 19 that talks about it, that the word of the Lord restores the soul. And so as I was looking at this and I thought about what that thing said to me, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to see about this. The next time I was doing deliverance on her, and I began to ask the Lord to restore her soul. And the thing told me that what the demon told me was that we would have never gotten her saved if we had given up on her after a little while. We had worked with her and worked with her. And he said, because of this blankety-blank church and you're sticking with her, says she's her soul. He admitted that her soul had parts of it had been brought back. And so she came to the Lord, and it made such a change in her, as we call her soul back. We asked the Father to send the angels to restore her soul. We didn't know where it was. And we said, Father, you know all things, and your angels, send your angels out to break any jars or earthen vessels or whatever to where her soul is and restore it. Some of you are looking at me like, what planet did she fall off of? Ezekiel 13 says that the soul is removed by witchcraft, and there's a spirit that's called hunter souls that goes around hunting souls. You say, well, you're scaring me. You listen, these are some end time demons. You better recognize your enemy. They are out to destroy God's people and discredit us. But over in Ezekiel, it talked about the spirit that goes and hunts souls of men. Revelation 17, I think it's 17, maybe 14, I can't remember exactly where it is right now, says that they merchandise men's souls. They make merchandise of them. And so as all of it began to fall into the places, as I was studying this. And so when I came over here, and the first time I was just real brave, I taught on soul ties. I wouldn't go into the soul being removed because nobody else was talking that. But I want you to know that I firmly believe what this word says, that the soul can be fragmented when you live for the devil, when you did your drugs, when you did your alcohol, when you did your whatever you did, you were open game for the devil to take any part of you he wanted to. What protection did you have? I had a lady call me and told me she was under so many curses. She said, I don't remember the... all kinds of things were hitting her. I said, do you know Jesus? And she said, no. I said, you have no right for protection. I said, I'll pray for you and I'll ask Father to protect you. But I said, you need to get saved. I said, when you get saved, then you have a right to use the name of Jesus. I said, you call upon the name of Jesus and you ask him, you call upon him and ask him to manifest himself to you. She was out of a Jehovah's Witness church. And so all I could do was share that with her. But you see, when you don't know Jesus Christ and when you're living in the world, when people think they really got it made, the enemy is working. Do you see if you look at this, you can also see why the children today are killing one another. While they drive by and shoot people and have no remorse. What is the soul? It's the mind, the will, the emotion, the ability, the personality. If you look through the scriptures, it tells you the different parts that the soul is. And that's us. And these children, the more I have dug into this, especially with this, when I ran into this familiar spirit, he told me that he came in the womb when the girl was conceived in her mother's womb. I don't know if it was true or not, but I'm going to get on the sins of the fathers in just a minute. You think about the kids today that are being born from alcoholic and drug abused parents. The children are coming into the world with alcoholic syndromes. And their soul, they have no protection over for their soul at all. You say, well, I don't believe this. Listen to me. There may be somebody you need to start calling their soul back. If you prayed for your children and you can't get them saved, if they've been on drugs and alcohol, ask the Father to start restoring their soul. You see, when a person takes drugs, Doc can explain this better than me, but anyways, it opens the mind up, and you're no longer in control. And you're open to whatever the enemy would like to put to do to your mind. You've heard the expression, blow their mind. And so if you can visualize this, and I don't have time to go into all of it to show you, but how the soul can be fragmented and even removed, and the children today, if you know children around you that need to be their soul back, start praying for them. We were ministering up here the other day, and the Lord spoke to me. I wasn't ministering, but I was standing there praying with somebody, and the Lord kept showing me I needed to lay hands on that child's head and ask him to restore the soul. So I didn't put my hands on the head, but I did ask him to restore the soul. And I asked the Father, forgive me, I don't like to interfere with somebody else's ministry, but the Spirit of the Lord was telling me this child needed the soul restored. So this is really so much to do with our salvation. I have women, and I minister most of them. I teach men once a week because Jim and I go down there to minister, and the reason I was doing it on Friday night, he was doing it on Sunday, and Sunday morning. But they had asked me to come share deliverance. I teach deliverance. He teaches it sometimes, but mostly he doesn't. But this girl called me and was talking to me about this. And I tried to explain to her how to pray for her family and how to pray for her children. And while I'm on this, before I get too far away, I'm fixing to leave the soul and go on. Soul ties, there are evil soul ties, and there are good soul ties. David and Jonathan's souls were knit together. Scripture says that. You agree? Some of you sitting there are unbelieving with me. That's okay. When you get in need, you'll remember that old woman up there talking. That's what I always tell them at the mission. You don't listen to me, but the Spirit of the Lord's, it's going in your spirit, and you're going to hear it. And when you need it, God will bring it back. But their souls were knit together. It was a good soul tie. My husband and I have a good soul tie. But we also have an evil soul tie. You say, well, I don't find that in a scripture. Well, let me tell you how it works. I haven't got time to go into it. I've got one I'm going to give you on how the soul is destroyed, and that is an evil soul tie. You have to know as you read it what the word is saying about it. And over in Proverbs, there's one that says adultery destroys the soul. But my husband and I also have an evil soul tie that we keep broken because he kept bringing me sickness from the plant, and this is where we found out about us having an evil soul tie. he would come into the house with, you know, his works, and people were having flu and all of that thing they believe in. And he was bringing home to me. And I didn't know it was coming from him at first. And I got to think about, why is all this stuff hitting me? I'm not even around him by this guy. That, you know, I'm home all the time. And he would come in, he'd fight it off 2 or 3 days. He'd fight it off him, and he never lets me know if anything's wrong with him. He's my show. He does it all by himself. You know, and I get him pray for me. But when this continued to hit me, I said, Lord, I am sick and tired of me picking up everything he brings home, and I won't know why. And he was doing deliverance on me one night, and he was calling off all the symptoms, and, you know, congestion and all the symptoms of that cold. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, tell him to break an evil soul tie. I said, Jim, break an evil soul tie between you and I. And so he broke it. And then the Lord spoke to me like this. He said, tell him to call the sickness off of him. Well, he sat there in that chair, and he began to call it off of him, and I got delivered. He was sitting there. He didn't yawn. He didn't do anything. And I was sitting over there coughing and throwing up and all this kind of things. He was calling it off of him, but he broke the evil soul tie between us first. And I got delivered. And do you know that he hasn't brought me any more of that stuff since then? It worked. And I tell you that what I teach, I've gone through it. I've experienced it, and I know that it works. And he would fight it, anything on him, and it seemed to me like, you know, that I was forever fighting, and I was tired of it. I told him not to do me any more favors. And so I praise the Lord that, you know, that, and so when as he calls it off of him, it doesn't hit me, because we keep that evil soul tie broken. Let me tell you something. If you try to control your husband, you got an evil soul tie. And husbands, if you control your wife, you got an evil soul tie, because that is not of God. And you need to keep it broken. And some of you husbands, if your wives are controlling you, break soul tie. Break an evil soul. You can't break what God puts together. But this is where we learn, really, and as you study, I think Jim did a teaching over here once on soul ties that has a lot of scriptures on the soul ties. Let's go on, okay? Let's go to Exodus 20. And while I was talking about those soul ties, I promised those girls I would go into this. If you've been married before and you divorced your husband, or your husband divorced you, or whichever, you need to break an evil soul tie with your ex-husband and ask the Father to restore your soul from him, and ask the Father to take his soul out of you. It's real important that you do that, because you will still, through an evil soul tie with him, you will find yourself being, you pick him up, you know what I mean? You'll be drawn to him, and whatever he might be involved in, you may be picking it up from him. God didn't mean for us to have divorce. He meant for us to have one husband, one wife. And I firmly believe this is why it's so important there only be one marriage. And I'm not condemning. I'm telling you to break it if you've been divorced. But God, when a man and woman are joined together in Genesis 1, 2, it talks about it, 2:24-25, whatever, the last verse, it says, I become one flesh. So Kyle was talking about, was it Kyle this morning saying that we begin to look like one another? I thought, oh, hush. But you become one. There's that bonding, that knit together. A man and a wife. That's why it's so important that man and wife stay together. And when they, I had the Lord show it to me one time that he said it's when a person is really married to Jesus. He said this is a picture of what the family, the man and woman, is supposed to be. And he said that when you separate them, then you become just almost like a part of a person. When you've lived together a long time and then end up getting divorced. And so you need to call your soul back. And if you've been married more than one time, for every ex-spouse, you need to break soul ties. You see, if you got children, it's real hard to keep them broken, because you still have fellowship or communication with the ex-husband and wife. And so I always tell some of the girls that I minister to, I said, break soul tie between your husband and that child, evil soul tie between your husband and that child to you, because he can also control you through that child, try to. It's important. Exodus 20, that's not Exodus, that's Deuteronomy. Sins of the fathers that are visited on us. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, I'm going to have to run. I see that. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to... let me go forward. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. God said that he would visit the sins of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. I never knew anything about this, and so I got into deliverance. And when I would try to cast the spirit out sometimes and couldn't get it out, then I began to realize that it had a legal hold there. And this is the way that I began to learn about the sins of the fathers. And the Lord taught me years ago never to go back. Especially when some demon will say, that's not far enough. When I say, I break that for 10 generations, and he said, that curse for 10 generations, he'd say, that's not far enough. And I said, well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just break that curse back to the Garden of Eden, both sides of the family. And I ask you to free them from all the bondages that have come upon them through the bloodline. You go to a doctor and he says to you, did your mother have heart problems or did your father have high blood pressure? They asked you about your ancestors. They don't know that they're talking about those curses that are coming down through the bloodline to you and to I. Man, I tell you, you can save yourself a lot of doctor bills when you learn how to fight the enemy off your blood, off your bloodline, off of you. Listen, I went the route of the doctors for a long time. I had 13 major operations in 8 years. I'm not proud of that. Took all of our money, all of our time. I had 4 kids. I spent more time in hospital than I did with my children until I learned about deliverance. When I first came in, I'll throw this out anyways, because people usually get mad at me when I say, I don't go to doctors. And I'm not bragging. I'm trying to tell you that if you'll believe, you don't have to go either. You say, well, I believe in healing. I had been had 13 major operations, and when I came into deliverance, when God delivered me from a migraine headache, was the first deliverance I've had, then I began to know that the word worked. I watch people in healing lines, and Father forgive me if I don't mean to put anybody down or anything, I'm not coming against it, but I watched the same people in all the same healing lines every time I went to a meeting, and they never seemed to get healed, and I wanted to know why. Because I know the word said that Jesus himself bore our infirmities upon the cross and with his stripes we're healed. He sent his word and he healed them of their diseases and he delivered them from their destruction. And I know that he said his word will not return void. It will accomplish where he sent and where he pleases. And I said, God, I want to know. These women know. And I always say women because I don't pay attention to men. I know the women. And I said, they know the word. They quote it and they stand up and they shake their fist at me when I talk to them about it. But why aren't they healed? They've had hands laid on them till they're almost bald-headed. Had oil poured on them till they can't keep anything on. Why are they not healed? God, I just want to know. And he began to show me deliverance. And those sins that came down through the bloodline that needed to be dealt with because God said they need to be confessed. And they said, well, I don't know what my folks did. I said, I don't either. But when I get in deliverance, 9 times out of 10, I find out. In Leviticus 26, the scripture tells us that we've got to confess our sins and the sins of our fathers. You say, well, I don't live in the Old Testament. You know, Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And if you want some more proof of that, go over and look at the scripture where he said, when they asked him, when he was going to heal the blind man that was born blind, said, who sinned, this man or his fathers? But yet we say, we don't live in the Old Testament. I like what Brother Glenn says, it's all one book. Man divided it. But God is saying that those sins are visited down upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. And why are they there? Because they didn't obey the word of God. Go to Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And you know I learned all about the blessings from Deuteronomy. Everybody was quoting the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And everybody would say, I'm blessed, you know, I've got all these blessings upon me, but I wasn't seeing them blessed in the healing area. And God said it right there. If our forefathers obeyed his word, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. And if we obeyed God's word, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. We obey it if it's convenient. I always hear this. I know the word says that, but, you see, we do it. And God says for us to obey his word. And I brought this in to show you that because of our forefathers not obeying God, what did he say? Back over in Leviticus, in the 17th chapter of Leviticus, he said, verse 10, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar, to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And I'm hurrying, and forgive me, but I want to give you another scripture, Leviticus 3.
Please turn the tape over for side 2. Thank you.
Throughout all your dwellings that you eat, neither fat nor blood. He said, well, I don't eat blood. Did you know until I got into deliverance, I didn't even know there was such a thing as blood pudding or blood sausage. But I was ministering to a lady one time that was 70-something years old. Mrs. Ben, I was only in my 50s then. The Lord said, break the curse of eating of the blood over her. And I'd never heard of it before. And I said, I break the curse of the eating of the blood over you in the name of Jesus. And she went out on the floor. And when we got through ministering to her, she said her husband ate blood pudding and blood sausage all the time. And when we got through ministering, that woman, she couldn't keep her pants up. She had to hold them going home. She lost weight through it. And that was my first experience with curses that come in from the eating of the blood. And it brings high blood pressure. It brings all kinds of blood diseases. Do you like your steak rare, real, or bloody? There's a lot of ways you get blood. And I'll tell you one thing. Every one of us need to get delivered from the curse of eating of the blood. I don't care whether you knowingly ever ate any. It's on you from your forefathers. It brings a curse and fat. My father used to love to eat fat. It always made me, anyways, he loved fat meat. My Bible says that you're not to eat the fat. And do you know that my sisters and my mother and all my family was real heavy? I've broken the curse of the eating of the fat and of eating of the blood from my forefathers and had gotten deliverance from it. Now, we'll go back to Deuteronomy 27. I'm showing you some of the ways that you've got curses upon you, that some of the sickness that's come upon you, that some of the things that's on your family. If you'll listen, you can take care of all this. We can't do it all this afternoon. We're going to do some, but you can take care of it. God's given you authority. He said, Jesus says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm you. He's given you authority.
Yes.
So we sit down sometimes and say, I got the power. Well, he didn't give it to you to sit in the seat and stay there. He said, go to work. Get your family delivered first. Break the curses over every member of your family. Call the curses off so they won't receive it. Well, if you're a believer yourself, you can do it without them receiving it or not. You can pray for them and ask God to deliver them. And I've been praying for my sons to get their souls back. They've been in drugs. And I asked the Father to station an angel there to protect their souls so they can get saved and protect it themselves. And I'm believing for God to bring them into the kingdom. I got one son that said, that tell me, swear up and down, he's saved, lives like the devil. Drinks and drugs and does everything on Sunday. The devil tried to make me believe it doesn't work because my kids are still, but you know what? They're coming in. They're going to run in before it's over with. They're going to run in because they still call mom and daddy for prayer. And that tells me God's working. And I don't care what the devil says, he's a liar anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 27, and we began with verse 14. And the Levites shall speak and say unto the men, this is where they were going in to the land, and there was one of the Levites were on one mountain, and the other, you know, they divided up. You can read back up and read all that. But they were pronouncing curses and blessings upon the children of Israel. And the scripture says, and the Levites shall speak and say unto the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh an engraven image or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, that the work of the hand of the craftsman, and put it in a secret place. And all the people answered and said, amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father, his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. He said that if you've got, oh well, I'm going home, it doesn't matter. If you got any idols in your house, you need to get rid of them. God convicted me of pictures of my kids and my grandkids all over the walls of my house. He said, you got idols all over your walls. And he said, here you are talking about idols and you got them everywhere. And said, when people come in your house, if they don't notice your grandkids, you say, did you see my grandkids? Aren't they cute? He said, you got an altar to them. He said, get rid of them. That's the way I felt too. When they come back home and they say, mother, oh, why are your walls so bare? I said, I got scripture on them. I just bought me some frames and framed me some scripture. But you see, God said we're not to make idols. We've got a lot of idols. We got our little statues. And let me tell you something. Now, don't stone me, but if you got those little statues of angels, you better get rid of them. They are demonic. And those things, when you bring it there, it's an abomination. What does the scripture say in Deuteronomy 7:26? It said, if you bring an abomination into your house, you become an abomination. If you bring a cursed thing into your house, you become cursed like it. And it's an abomination to God. We have our idols, and we don't call them idols. I'm telling you, we need to be delivered from idolatry. Cursed be he that set light by his father's mother. The word says that honor thy father and thy mother, that it will go well with you. The first promise, commandment that had promise with it. In Ephesians it says that you have long life if you honor your father and mother. Children today are not honoring their father and their mothers, and they're under a curse. And that's one of the reasons we're seeing a lot of them die, too. They're under the curse because their parents have not honored their father and their mother. I'm telling you, I said I was going home once, so y'all can't stone me because they should get me before I get out of here. But we have done this, and we need to repent of it. We need to ask God to forgive us for not teaching our children the way we should, teaching them to respect their parents, to teach them to respect their school teachers. And so that they have long life. It's mighty quiet in here. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm coming back there. Hold your place there. Chapter 11, verse. You know, sometimes people get mad at me about the way I preach. I just tell it like it is. I tell it like I know it. But it's what the Word says. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16 says, take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your hearts and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hands, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon the gates, that your days may be multiplied, and that the days of your children's. See, if we haven't taught our children, then we're guilty. We've sinned. If we haven't taught them the Word, we want them, we haven't taught them to respect and honor God and to honor us, then their days are shortened. He said, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto them, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before thee, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. You see, when we repent of the things that we have not done, God drive those nations out of us. God gave me one of the overcomer promises over in the scripture, over in Revelation a long time ago. He said that one that I always read those overcomer promises, and he says, I'll give you power over the nations. And I said, Lord, I need power over the nations. And here he said that he will drive those nations that are in there that harass your mind, that he'll cleanse your land. I know he's talking in the natural to Israel here, but we're Israel, and this, and in the spirit realm, we need those nations driven out of us. Idolatry, eating of the blood, witchcraft, all the things that we have done that God said don't do. How many of you in here read your horoscope, have read your horoscope? How many of you have read books on psychics and psychic power, seeking knowledge from other than from God? You're cursed, and your children are cursed, and your grandchildren are cursed, and your great-grandchildren are cursed. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 20. He said, cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say amen. Incest. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say amen. Bestiality. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Incest. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say amen. Irma hit on this upstairs when she was doing deliverance on incest. But Deuteronomy 23 says, verse 2, a bastard shall not enter. She was talking about incest, but I want you to look at the curse of the bastard. Children born out of wedlock or have the curse of the bastard on them. And I would say everyone has it somewhere down our bloodline. We don't know if there was any children born out of wedlock. But he said, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation. Ten generation curse upon a bastard. And all the children, these little girls that are having these babies today, 14, 15-year-old girls, the babies are cursed. Ten generation curse. Shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, and an Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. What were the Amorites and the Moabites? They were children of Lot. And they were ancestral children, born by his daughters. Another curse, over in Genesis 9, and drinking alcohol. Noah's family, his son that came and uncovered, saw his nakedness. Why do you see so much nakedness today? I hate the nakedness. I hate that naked spirit. But it's a spirit that's come in through alcohol. Genesis 9, verse 20 says, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. You got homosexuality and all kinds of stuff that come in right here. But alcohol, and you know diabetes comes from, we found that if you go after the spirit of diabetes, you need to go back after a curse of alcoholism. I just sometimes call it the curse of Ham. I really think it's the curse of Noah. He's the one planted the vineyard. And Shem and Japheth took a garment laid upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. You see, with the alcoholic curse, there's nakedness and all kinds of perversion. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. That Noah cursed his son and said he'd be a servant. And people that are alcoholic, drinking alcohol, become a servant and a slave to drink. I want to touch on that. Go to Proverbs chapter. I didn't have the time I wanted. I had a lot of stuff I wanted to bring, but Lord take care of this. So I'm just kind of hitting it real fast. But I want you to look at this. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32, it says, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroys his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. So God says that when we commit adultery, listen, God doesn't, he doesn't smile on people that are living in sin. God put the marriage there for man and woman to be married and to live together. And let me tell you, if people are living together without being married, they're cursed. They're bringing curses upon themselves and everyone that's connected with them. Because God does not wink at it. We are the ones that wink at it. You say, well, you got to love them. That's right. But you go to them and you say, hey, you either get married or get going. It's ridiculous. Why do people live together and don't get married? If they're going to live together, do what the Word says. Become one flesh. Now, I probably stepped on somebody's toes. As I said, I'm leaving in the morning early. But that spirit is there, and it curses. It brings a curse. God made the institution of marriage. And what is the devil trying to do today is to destroy it. Because they live together and then they have these children. See, the children are born and they're under the curse of the bastard. Did you know they're even under the curse of the bastard if they get married, if the parents get married and they have they're pregnant when they get married. That curse is still there and it's got to be taken care of. And we need to do a lot of repenting before God because we have let a lot of stuff come in that we have ignored because we don't want to hurt anyone. We need to help them by going to them and saying, hey, let's clean this mess up. Adultery, fornication, idolatry, all of these things that God hates and brings curses not only on us but on our bloodline. And many of the things come down through the sins of the fathers. As the fathers walked in it, they curse their children. The curse of incest is a 10-generation curse. Well, within 10 generations, we don't know how many more cases of incest there was. So God is trying to show us that we need to receive deliverance. What I want you was trying to say tonight to you, and I'm going to quit because I got to, that we need to repent of these. What my forefathers were in. When I had been praying, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what all my... I do know my father did water witching, and so I broke that curse and drinking water from a witch well. I broke that curse off of me and my family. I didn't know what water witching was. I knew he used to find wells, you know, some way or another, with some kind of stick. And when I learned it was witchcraft, I broke the curse off of me and my family. But you see, we don't know what they've done, so I just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent. First of all, I had to forgive my father. I had to forgive them for all the things they had done that cursed me. Because when I began to learn about them, I was a little bit angry. In fact, I was a lot angry about the alcoholic thing. Because my sons are walking in it. And so, we have to forgive them. Ask God to forgive us for holding unforgiveness against them. As you do this with people that hurt us, we've got to ask them to forgive us. And so our biggest thing we need to do is to confess our sins of unforgiveness and all these things we've been involved in and prepare our hearts to receive deliverance. Do you want some deliverance from any of these spirits this afternoon? Praise the Lord. Well, by the way, if you want scripture over in the New Testament on adultery, it's Matthew 5, 26 and 27. And I was going to get on the curse of robbing God, but a brother covered it, so I won't have to do that. That's another curse we're under. Let me tell you something. You're cursed and your children are cursed and your family, grandchildren are cursed because you have robbed God, your families have robbed God. You say, not my family, they paid their tithe. How do you know? How do you know how long it was before they started paying their tithe? And did they ever repent from stealing from God? I heard a good illustration of this, and I'll say it, and then I'll close. It's hard. I heard a man say one time that his mother taught him to tithe. Just a minister. He was ministering. He said, first job he ever got, like, was making a dollar a day, and his mother said, you give God 10 cents of it. And he did. And then he began to make $2 and $3, and, you know, he just kept going. And then he got a good job, and he was making a lot of money, $5 a day. He quit tithing. He couldn't afford to give that money. So he lost his job. He lost his money. And he went to his mother, and he said, Mother, I need some money. Loan me some. She said, I will not. You're a thief. Said, you robbed God. You stole God's money. I'm not loaning you anything. He said, I want you to know I learned my lesson. He said, I repented, and he said, he went back and checked on how much he had made. He had not given to God. And said, as soon as he got a job, he paid God all that back tithe. And said, God began to bless him, and he said he never had any problems with money after that because he always gave it to God. We need to break the curse of robbing God. If you've stolen God's money, confess to this sin. Ask the Father to forgive you and repent and pay God what you owe him. We can't pay him what we owe him and as much as he's given to us, but we need to give. We need to really confess and repent from the things that we have done.
And then let's pray first. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I bind the enemy's power over this place right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I call for your angels.
Yes.
To drive out anything that's free and loose in this place that's not of you, Lord. Under this roof and any area under this roof, even underground, I seal the ground beneath us, the walls around us. I ask angels to seal the doors, the sides and the top, that nothing shall come in to harass and to interfere with deliverance for these few minutes in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for setting us free. I also bind spirits in every person here until I call your name in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you will manifest yourself when I call your name, and you will leave in Jesus' name, because it is the power of the Most High God that ministers deliverance. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I call off fear. Fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All types of fear. I command you to loose this people. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Fear. Fear in Jesus' name. I call compromise. Compromise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will obey. You will depart. Loose them. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. Pride. Pride in the name of Jesus. I demand you leave this people. Loose them. Loose them. That spirit of pride in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Pride. You have no place in God's people. Loose them and let them go. You're an abomination to God. Come out, pride, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Loose them in Jesus' name. You cannot stay. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Strife. I command strife to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, strife, loose them. Loose them and come out. In the name of Jesus, strife, you're an abomination. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Strife, spirit of strife, deception, spirits of deception. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, deception, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all the spirits of deception, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose them and let them go. Depression. Spirits of depression, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of depression, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you.
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Blow in, blow out.
Come on, stir them up. Stir them up.
If you want them to come out, okay?
Those are the seven nations. The names of those seven nations that God said he'd set his people free from in Deuteronomy 7:1. Now, if you will want to look that up, you go back and look that up. Pride, spirits of pride, loosen them. Come on out of here. Let them go, people. Work with me. Come on, it's up to you. I'm not going to make them come out. I can't do it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can set you free, but you've got to be willing. You've got to want him out. You've got to help me. Come on out. You've got to tell him he's got to go. You've got to expel him. You've got to push him. Pride, you've got to go. You're not of the Lord. You are an abomination. You truly are an abomination to the Lord. Pride, come out of God's people. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Move. Come out of them. Come out in Jesus' name. Ego. Ego. Let them go. Move. Come out. Spirits of pride and ego, let them go. You are a liar. You can't stay. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That self-reliance. Self-reliance. Come on out of there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Loose them. You can't stay. You're alien to this body. You have no place here. Come on out. Come on out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In case you don't know, spirits is the word in Greek, pneuma, which means breath, air, wind. And they're going to come out with some type of a manifestation like this. But they might come out through your eyes. I don't know. I'm not going to limit how God's going to do it. But that's normally the way through your breathing passages. They might come through your ears. I heard Doc say he'd come out like smoke. But normally they're going to come out and manifest in some manner. You're going to know. You're going to know. Take deep breaths. Expect them to go. Expect God to do something tonight. Come on. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That religious spirit. That religious spirit that I don't have demons. You've got to go. You've got to go. And the fear of deliverance, you've got to go too. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out of there. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Religious spirits. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Lying spirits. Lying spirits. Loose them and come out. In the name of Jesus. Small lies. Come out. White lies. Come out. Lies. Just plain old lies. You're all lies. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Lying spirits. Rebellion. That spirit of rebellion. The rebellion against our God. Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against teaching. Come out. Come out. All types of rebellion. Loose them and come out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Rebellion. Rebellion. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Rebellion. Move in Jesus' name. No, come on out of there. Come on out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Rebellion. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Move. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Unbelief. Spirits of unbelief. Unbelief. Those that have slipped into the unbelief that are trying to stop us from receiving God's Word. Unbelief and doubt. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Oh, you don't belong here. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. You are the liars. You are the liars. You can't stay. You have no place here. Come out. Come out. For Jesus is highly exalted. He's given a name above every name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee bows of beings in heaven, of beings in earth, and beings under the earth. Come out, come out, for he is highly exalted. Come on out, move, move, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Unbelief and doubt, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That Antichrist spirit, Antichrist, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's another Christ. That Antichrist means another Christ, as well as one that is anti or against. But it also means another, anything that comes to you as Christ. I command that spirit to loose you and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that other Christ. I command false spirits of Christ. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. False Christ. False Jesus. False Jesus. There are many Jesus spirits. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hurts. Oh, that spirit of hurts. All types of hurt. Deep hurt. Those that are have cut deep into our spirit. In the name of Jesus, all those deep hurts come out. Even I want the small hurts too. All types of hurts. Hurts. Words that have hurt. I loose the words from you. I break the power of the words that came upon you that caused the hurt. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break the words, the power of those words of hurt. Loose them and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come on out. Hurts. Hurts in Jesus' name. Call lust out. Lust. Unusual craving for all types of things. That's lust. We think of it as sexual. That's lust, but there are all kinds of lust, unusual craving, great desire and cravings for things. Come on out of there. Come on out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out. Lust. Lust. We see in 1 John, lust of the flesh. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. lust of the eye. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You've got to go. You have no place in God's house, in God's temple. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Lust. Lust. I break a curse of lust, a bloodline curse of lust in the name of the Lord Jesus. I take authority over it and I destroy its power. I command it to loose you and let you go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, a bloodline curse of lust, all types of lust that came down through bloodlines in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Curses of lust, all curses of lust. Let them go. Move. Move in Jesus' name. I want to break evil soul ties between husband and wife here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Even if your spouse is not present, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I break that soul tie between husband and wife. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I destroy its power and I sever that tie in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command angels to sever that tie and seal the ends of it so it cannot be restored in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's evil soul tie between husband and wife. I break a soul tie between children and parents, between even adults that have living parents and also dead parents. You can have a soul tie with your dead parents in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I break that soul tie with parents. While I'm thinking about it, I break a grieving spirit for lost ones, an unusual grief. We need to grieve, but only for a period of time, and I see it carried beyond normal, and I break that ungodly grieving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for loved ones that have gone on. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of that grieving. I loose you. I command that spirit of grieving to come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break a soul tie between in families, between brother and sisters. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I destroy its power. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that evil soul tie between children. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break the soul tie between you and your fellow workers and your employers. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Those friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Special friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus, who you've budded with. Both men and women who've come close, I break an evil soul tie between you in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that good soul tie may flourish. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that you may have fellowship one with another. I come against the spirit of abortion. Spirit of abortion in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break that curse, first of all, of abortion. I break that spirit of abortion. I command it. I command it to loose your bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that's murder. In the name of Jesus, I break that curse of murder. I break the spirit of murder. I destroy that spirit of murder, and I command it to come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Abortion. Abortion. Let them go. If you've been involved in an abortion in any matter, a friend of one that had abortion, that helped with an abortion, you are guilty. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of abortion to loose you and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. God will forgive. God will forgive. Get rid of that spirit of abortion. You've got to go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. The guilt of abortion. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I come against that spirit of guilt in the name of the Lord Jesus. Shame. Spirit of shame in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Shame attached to abortion. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Set this people free, Father. We pray right now. Come on, take a deep breath. Help me. Work with me now. Come on, let's get rid of this stuff. We'll take a deep breath in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, we're still on abortion. They gave me some more names here. I just had to stop and write them down so I don't miss them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All the shame, all of the guilt. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and come out. Loose them. Attached to abortion. Come on out. All of it. All of it. That spirit of abortion, you've got to go. You've got to go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that rebukes you. I cannot cast a spirit out. If you want free, you can. You have to do it with the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't do it. I can call Him and I can believe and I'm doing it. But you have to work. You have to work out there to expel him. You understand? Come on out of there. Come on out. All those spirits of abortion now. Let them go. Guilt and shame and abortion. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Father, I ask you first to restore the soul of every person here. And those places that the enemy has been moved, I ask you to come in and restore the soul and displace that demon that took its place, that's sitting there in the soul, in the mind, that is operating and speaking to these people in the name of Jesus in place of their own soul, their own mind. To restore the soul. You said in Psalms 23 that you would restore it, and that we know that we had need of restoration from Psalms 7 in the name of the Lord Jesus. So therefore I call your soul back. I call for angels to restore your soul in Jesus' name. I call off anger in the name of Jesus. Infirmity, all types of infirmity and sickness and disease in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, such as high blood pressure, low blood pressure, all blood diseases, diabetes, heart attack, stroke, plaque in the arteries, blocked arteries, tumors, growth, cancer, blood cancer, cancer of the pancreas, cancer of the liver, of the prostate, of the lung, cancer on the skin, of the kidney and the colon. I call off arthritis. Those headaches, those bad headaches, in the name of Jesus, I call headaches in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I call a fever off, a high temperature, in the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and come out. I call a spirit of whoredom. Of whoredom, natural whoredom, and I call a spiritual whoredom. Though where we've sought other gods, or we've made gods out of other things. And you don't think you have, but you have. Anything you place above the Lord Jesus Christ, you made a god out of it. Whether you know it or not, you did. And I call that spirit out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call a spirit of whoredom, sexual whoredom out. I call fornication out in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I call that curse of eating blood out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call the curse of eating fat in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break its power in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I call that demon out that came in to bring that curse in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of incest. That curse of incest, I break that curse of incest. That's a 10-generation curse in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you don't know what your great-grandfather did. You don't know what your grandfather did. You don't know what your father did in the name of Jesus. So therefore, we know these curses have been renewed. So I break the curse of incest in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I render it powerless over your life in Jesus' name. I break a curse of bestiality over your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break a curse of adultery in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break the curse of the bastard born out of wedlock in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over every person here, if any harbor that curse, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you to loose this people, that curse of the bastard, and go in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break your power in the name of Jesus. And tell you one thing before I quit, maybe it has something to do with it. I learned long ago that when we read the word salvation in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Bible, it's a Greek word, comes from the Greek sozo, and I don't know whether I pronounce right, but it's a Greek word. And if you'll look that up in the dictionary, you'll find about four or five things that you got when you got salvation in Strong's dictionary, Concordance dictionary. But I have discovered that there are primarily seven things that we can count on in the Word of God that are simply promises of God when we come to God. You want them? You got safety. You got soundness. You got wholeness. You got healing. You got health. Now, they're all different. You got deliverance and prosperity. All of that was encompassed in salvation. Now, you say, well, I'm not walking. I didn't get that. Whose fault is that? Whose fault? You can't get it unless you receive it, and you've got to walk in it. You don't get salvation just because Jesus died on the cross until you receive what Jesus did. So you don't get these things until you receive those things that Jesus did for you. So receive your deliverance. It's yours. That's what I'm telling you. It's yours.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.